Okay, this is week 4, class 3 of wisdom. Yay. All right. Now, let's pick up. We just got through talking about one of the women represented in Proverbs and how that woman is wisdom. And we have discovered in this that this is an analogy. It is imagery. That the woman of wisdom is actually the Holy Spirit. And as we pray in the Holy Spirit, the words are made known unto us. The wisdom, the understanding, and so forth, it's all released unto us. But now let's talk about the other woman that's represented in Proverbs. This is the foolish woman. Now let's take a look at this, in the contrast of this. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Well, again, why does she do this? To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Now we'll stop right there. These passages right here, if you want to see like an expanded version of this, a variation on this theme, all you have to do is read Romans chapter 1 verse 18 through chapter 2 verse 11. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. For the lips of a strange woman are as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Okay, let me just go ahead and tell you ahead of time. You're going to figure this out. What this is talking about, and we're going to see it in more clearly here, the foolish woman, ultimately, this is talking about Satan. Now, let me point this out to you. Where it says, to deliver thee, in chapter 2, verse 16 there on page 9, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Okay, what did Satan do in the Garden of Eden? To Eve, correct? You shall be as gods, alright? You shall not die. Flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Now, one way to look at this is from the perspective of, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High God. I will remember what the prophet revealed to us that was going on in the mind of Satan. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead, none that go unto her return, neither take they hold of the paths of life. A variation on all of this is what Paul wrote to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has deceived you? Okay? For the lips of a strange woman are as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. A variation on all of this is 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27, where John was warning about the people who would seduce them away from the truth that is found in Christ. And where it says, lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. In other words, she keeps changing the story or rearranging the truth so you can't understand what's really going on. In other words, her deception is so effective through the use of truth that she gets you to the point that you don't understand what is and is not truth, so you just follow whatever she has to say. Remove thy way far from her and come not nigh to the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor to others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. He's talking here about your judgment. And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Now from 5:8 all the way down to 5:20, a variation on this is what Paul wrote in Romans 16 verse 17, that we are to avoid those who teach any other doctrine. And in chapter 5 verse 8 up here in Proverbs where it says, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh to the door of her house. What this is talking about literally are those who represent the strange woman, or those who preach the false doctrine, and where it says, come not nigh, or don't come nigh to the door of her house, that's talking about the churches wherein they are ministering. Now let's pick up and continue. 7 verse 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and behold, among the simple ones I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Why was he void of understanding? Because he was a babe in Christ. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house in the twilight. This one we just read, he went the way to her house. This is one of the reasons why Jesus made the statement, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, get them born again, and then make disciples out of them. Or in other words, disciple the new converts so they don't get led away by the strange woman. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. That's what I just referred to was in Matthew, I think chapter 28, last couple of verses in Matthew 28. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Okay, who is portrayed as the harlot in Revelation? Well, the harlot portrayed in Revelation ultimately is making reference to Satan. All right, that it's symbolism of the work that Satan is doing to lead the people astray. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without. Now in the streets and lieth in wait at every corner. Here's the imagery in my mind when I saw chapter 7, verse 12. Now, I'm not saying this wasn't from God. It was just what I envisioned. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. You ever heard the term, a church on every corner? So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works and fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. All right, now, you obviously know what the symbolism here is, but think about the way that a lot of churches, they do everything they can to appeal to the sensory nature of man. We've got the coffee bars. Again, nothing wrong with that. But when you're using all the gadgets, the gizmos, the programs to appeal to the intellect, you're drawing people in, and they don't know if you've got right doctrine or not. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield, and with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Now, think about this. How hard is it to try and minister truth to people who are terribly, almost totally deceived and caught up in wrong doctrine? I'm not talking cults. I'm talking wrong doctrine. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. In other words, the prophecy here in this 23rd verse is wrong doctrine is only going to lead to destruction somewhere in your life. It cannot, wrong doctrine cannot produce life in any area of your life. And so wisdom 7:24 says, hearken unto me now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. How many ministers have gotten off the path? Again, the perfect example, Jim Jones. He was a strong man in the Lord. He preached a solid gospel. Signs and wonders and miracles took place in his ministry. However, he got caught up with the strange woman, and we know the end result. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in thither. And for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Now stop right there and let me comment on something. You can go back to the Word and check this out for yourself. Proverbs, verse 18 is the last verse in Proverbs chapter 9. It is also the last verse in the book of, it also signifies the end in the book of Proverbs on the real teaching about wisdom. There are rare occasional references to wisdom from chapter 10 all the way through to the end of chapter 31. But once you hit chapter 9, that's it. As far as the real deep teaching and prophetical nature of the difference between wisdom and the foolish women. You'll see occasional references beyond this, but I'm talking about this, you know, verse after verse after verse reference. And notice here is the essence. Remember when God was speaking and he said, I set before you this day life, death, choose life. Okay. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 through Proverbs chapter 9, verse 18, essentially is God saying, I set before you this day two paths. The path that the Holy Spirit will lead you on and the path that the foolish woman will lead you on. Choose you this day which path you're going to take. And if you make the wrong choice, the very end of verse 18 tells you where you could be headed and that her guests are in the depths of hell. This is heavy, guys. But this is the kind of thing when you read through the book of Proverbs, a lot of very good sayings. But when you understand the prophetical nature of what God is trying to get across to the body of Christ in this book, it becomes a very intense and very powerful book. Now, the foolish woman represents, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is just a verse that exemplifies the foolish woman. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And in chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 is, in essence, the voice of the foolish woman. 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5 represent the voice of those who have turned in unto her. Look at this. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now here's what's interesting. If you look back on page 10 of your outline, you're going to see 1 Timothy 6, 3 through 5 presented before you. In chapter 5, in the middle of page 10, remove thy way far from her and come not nigh to the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Do you see this? How that it is all, it's not the same, but it's very similar to the warning that Paul is giving to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 5. Now, rejecting wisdom is a step toward the foolish woman. Now listen closely to this. If there is a minister who teaches against being filled with the Holy Spirit, that is a step toward the foolish woman. If in a Pentecostal church or full gospel, whatever, they teach against or they teach that you can't pray in tongues anytime that you want to, that is a step toward the foolish woman. Because wisdom, the Holy Spirit, plainly states, if you will let me speak, I will produce in you wisdom. I will produce sound doctrine. I will produce righteousness. I will produce understanding. I will produce knowledge. But you have to turn me loose. You have to let me speak. And we've already seen in the New Testament what happens when we pray in the Spirit. Now, this can sound very critical, and I don't mean it to, but truth is what truth is. Churches that are opposed to being filled with the Holy Spirit and teach against praying in tongues are churches that have turned at least their toe into the door of the foolish woman. Some churches have gone so far. All right, the Methodist Church, at first, many years ago, over 100 years ago, the Methodist Church was very Holy Ghost, was very gifts of the Spirit, was very Pentecostal, if you will, whatever you want to call it. That was the Methodist Church. But there were people within that denomination that began to listen to the flattering words of the foolish woman. And one toe at a time, one foot at a time, they began step by step walking into her house. And now, look at what you see. Given enough time, that same thing could happen to any other denomination that is against and does not teach, or church, I mean, even if it's not a part of a denomination, that is against and does not teach being filled with the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues. This alone, what we've seen here tonight, should convince anybody, I need to pray in the Spirit. I need to avoid the foolish woman. Now, I'm not saying if you don't pray in tongues, you're going to hell. You understand I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is, the more we pray in tongues, the more we avoid the voice, the teaching, the doctrines of the foolish woman. It's extremely important that we do this. Some people would criticize and say, well, I just don't know that I'm convinced by all this. You know, you know what you're saying here about Proverbs and the two women and praying in tongues and all that. Well, again, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, turn over there. We looked at it earlier tonight. But verse 20 says, where are the wise? Where is the scribe? Where are the disputers of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? What's the wisdom of the religious world? You don't need to pray in tongues. All you need is the Bible. You don't need to do this. You don't need to do those things. You don't need to get caught up in all that stuff. What does Scripture say? What does the book of Proverbs prophesy to us? In verses 25 through 27, it says the foolishness of God is wiser than men. I mean, think of this. If the Bible says that we should pray in tongues to tap into wisdom, then for crying out loud, why should we pray in tongues? God has said this. Man didn't come up with this doctrine. We can make it our doctrine and then teach it, but God's the one that's established this. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. The wisdom of the religious world says, we don't need those things. We are beyond that. But the wisdom of God says, I need it just like they needed it in the early church. I am no better than them. I'm no further along than them. I need this just like they needed it. Things we hear from the world of man's traditions and doctrines. Now listen to this. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is not for today. The gifts of the Spirit do not operate today. Tongues are no longer in operation. You cannot pray in tongues anytime you desire. Praying in tongues will not produce anything in your life. Study the Bible to get all you need. Go to a Bible college, seminary, university to develop in wisdom. Christians hear and receive such teachings, then believe they are walking in the wisdom of God because they have religious intellectualism, and the result is conflicting doctrines, and everybody believes they are correct. But now look at this. This entire point C right here, this is all from the foolish woman. None of it is from wisdom. Every single bit of it is from the foolish woman. That's just what Paul said. Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's all from the foolish woman. Because this is exactly what the foolish woman would have you believe. The Bible says that she's left on uprightness. That she's gone her way. And this can be a hard thing for some people to accept. But a doctrine that fits in anything we've listed here, and there are others we could have put down, but a doctrine, any of these things here, that might be presented in a church, the source can be traced directly back to the foolish woman. And again, the foolish woman is a type of Satan. Now, who in the world wants to say I go to a church where the preacher is inspired by the devil? Well, that's a little dramatic. But if I stand up and I tell you, you must be born again, but then I turn around and I teach all this other stuff that doesn't line up with Scripture, I've got the you must be born again part right, but this other stuff came from the foolish woman. And if I teach you this and then you leave the church and try to mix foolish woman doctrine with born again, you're going to end up goofy. And you're going to end up going down the wrong path. Ultimately, it could lead to your destruction. Again, I am not saying that people who go to churches that preach against the gifts of the Spirit are going to hell. I didn't say that. But what I'm saying is, it's a step in the wrong direction. And Scripture bears this out. The truth that we must accept, God is a spirit. He communicates with us on a spiritual level. The Old Testament is filled with types and shadows of what was to come. I mean, the whole thing about the ark and the tabernacle, the temple, and I mean the lamb, the sacrificial lamb, and on and on it goes, the types and shadows. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to, among other things, teach us all things. Bring to our mind the things God has said. Guide us into all truth. Speak what He hears from the Father and the Son. Show us things to come. Glorify Jesus. Receive of Jesus and reveal it unto us. Through praying in the Holy Spirit or praying in tongues, we are edified. We are praying out the mysteries of God. We are speaking directly to God. Our spirit is praying instead of our intellect. We are built up on our most holy faith. We are praying God's perfect will. We are receiving the wisdom of God. If we desire to operate daily in the wisdom of God, we have no choice but to develop a lifestyle of praying in tongues. There is no other way to get around this. It's not going to happen any other way. Wisdom comes from above. The Holy Spirit comes from above. How in the world can we expect to access the wisdom of God if we're looking for it somewhere else other than from God? It can't happen. Now think of it like this. There are a lot of wonderful ministers out there. They do as good a job as they possibly can. They're very good in what they do. They're in their organizational skills and in the way that they deliver their sermons and so forth. But if they're not praying in the Spirit, then they're only operating to a limited degree in God's wisdom. Yes, you can attain to a degree of God's wisdom strictly from the Word, but the Word alone is not enough. You have to have involvement with the One who has given us the Word, who spoke the Word forth, the Holy Spirit, divine inspiration of God. Therefore, if we as believers, the body of Christ, if we want to tap into the pure wisdom of God, and we want to begin developing that wisdom in us, there is only one way to go as deep as we possibly can into the wisdom of God, and that's if we're praying in tongues. The more we pray in tongues, the more the Holy Spirit is able to release the wisdom of God on the inside of us. I know these kind of things are met with criticism, these kinds of teaching, but think about it. If everything that we've seen in the Bible is true, which I have a tendency to believe that the Bible is true, how can we come up with anything else? I want to again encourage you. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Redeem your time. Pray in the Spirit as much as you possibly can. And I realize this won't apply too much to the correspondence students, but for those of you that are local, you know, we have various times here at the church for prayer. And you can come here and you can pray in the Spirit and nobody's going to criticize you. Nobody's going to tell you you can't do that. Nobody's going to give you a hard time about it. In fact, they may sit down next to you and pray with you. But what I'm getting at is this. There are so many things, you know, so many voices in the world, so many teachings, so many doctrines, and the Holy Spirit has been given to us in part to be sure we have access to understanding truth, to walking in truth, to teaching and preaching truth. We absolutely, positively must include the Holy Spirit in our lifestyle and include praying in the Spirit in our lifestyle. When we do, we're going to tap into the wisdom of God and all the things that wisdom can produce. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. It is going to happen. Praise God. Think of the joy this gives the Father to look down and say, oh, there they go, praying in tongues again. There goes more wisdom. Here come more blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. It is truth. And Father, sometimes it's challenging to see things in your word that maybe bump up against traditions and things we've been taught in the past. But Father, we truly want to walk in truth. We truly want to grow and develop spiritually. Help us, Father, by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, help us to get past all those old traditions, to uproot all that old stuff, the wrong thinking, the wrong believing. Help us get all that stuff out of us, Father, so that we will walk and talk and believe only the fullness and purity of your truth. Now, Father, again, we thank you for this course. We thank you for wisdom. We thank you for the mind of Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for our salvation. Thank you for being our Father. We love you so much. And Father, as we leave this place tonight, again by faith, we ask for and receive your divine protection, and we give all the glory for these wonderful things to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.